Okay, so this Chazara show will cover the topics of Kavish, Kimivushal, Klisheni, and Iroi. In general, I'm not going to discuss everything mentioned in the notes for two reasons. Number one, if there are any in the notes, you can read them there. Number two, not everything discussed in Shir is necessarily in the notes. What I will try to do is hit the main points Rabbi Sobolevsky touched upon in Shir, possibly presenting them in a different order that could hopefully be more helpful in understanding these dinim. So we turn to the Gemara in Chulin that quotes the din of Shmuel, Kavish Kemevusha, Moliach Kirusayach. In order to understand the din of Kavish Kemevusha, we have to define the terms. What is Kvisha and what is Bishal? To define Kvisha, we turn to the Gemara Msachem, Daf Mem Dal Amibet. The Gemara over there asks, according to Rabbi Kiva, how I know Tam Keker Doraisa. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? I learned now from Basar B'Chalav. The Gemara responds, that's impossible. Basar B'Chalav is a Chiddush. It is Yotzei Min HaKlal, an exception to the rule. What exactly is so different about Basar B'Chalav than anything else? So by where else do I have a kosher piece of meat and I take kosher milk, two chefses that are mutter, I combine the two through Bishal, lo behold, I get a chefses shel iser. Says the Gemara, not so quick. I have the same thing by Kalayim. If I plant two grains in close proximity to one another, I can also get a chefses shel iser from two chefses that are mutter. The Gemara responds, still, Basar B'Chalav is a Chiddush, because if I were to soak the meat, Kule Yom B'Chalba, it would be Mutter de Midoraisa, it would be Aser Midorabanan. So the Rashi of Avodah Zarah deduces from this Gemara the Shir of Kvisha. What did the Gemara say if I soaked my meat in my milk? For how long? 24 hours. Therefore, the Rashi of Avodah Zarah and the Rav Yaakov quoting the Mordechai conclude that Kvisha must be done for a 24-hour period. However, the Mordechai does quote some dissenting Rishonim, such as Rabbi Ezra Mimitz and the Rabbeinu Tam, who hold the Shir Kvisha is a little bit longer than one day. It's 3 days. This is based off a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that talks about kashering some kelim through soaking them for 3 days and changing the mashke after each 24-hour period. The second din to be learned out from this Gemara about Kvisha is whether it is a din d'oraisa or d'rabanan. So it's clear by Basar B'Chalav it is only a din d'rabanan. The implication being by Shar Isurim, it is a din d'oraisa. That was exactly the Chiddush. Basar B'Chalav is an exception because the Kvisha over here is only d'rabanan. And indeed, the Russian Avodah Zarah does pask in this way, Kvisha B'Shar Isurim is a din d'oraisa. The Ramah, in the beginning of Kuf Hei, Sif Aleph, paskins like this Rush, holding Kavush, Safik, Kvisha is Aser based off the principle of Safik Deoraisa L'chumra. If it's Deoraisa, what might be the Makar? Again, the Gemara was discussing Tam Ke'ikr. If one holds Tam Ke'ikr Deoraisa, it might not be so hard to follow and say Kavush Kemivushal should also be a Din Deoraisa. But nonetheless, by Basar B'Chalav, it is only a Din Derabanan. The question we asked in Shir is why? And we answered, possibly because Basar B'Chalav needs Derech Bishal. In order to create a real Basar B'Chalav D'Oraisa, you need Derech Bishal Asr Torah. Derech Bishal Asr Torah sounds very familiar. Where else do we have this term? So the answer is Shabbos. In order to have Bishal on Shabbos, you need the normal way of cooking, Derech Bishal. So this led to the question whether Yoredei and Shabbos, the two Kvishas, are really identical. The Rambam quotes the din of Kavish Kemevushal in the latter Parakim of Hilcha Shabbos. Generally, whenever the Rambam quotes something in the latter Parakim of Hilcha Shabbos, he holds it's a din derabanan. So this might lead one to indicate, yeah, the Rambam thinks Kvish and Shabbos is derabanan. Crazy police, whoever wants to argue on this and says, no, Kavish must be a din derais on Shabbos because it's like a real bishul. And one of his rayas is from the Gemara in Beitza on Daf Tzayin Amudbet. The Gemara tries to find out, what can I use as my cooked food for the Erev Tavshilin? So one example the Gemara gives is Kavush. You have a soaked food that could be used as for your Erev Tavshilin. So says the Crazy Uplasi, we see very clearly, Kavush is like Bishal on a Deoraisa level. Prima Gadim responds, not so fast, Erev Tavshilin is not a Din Deoraisa, it's a Din Derabanan. Hekelu Chachamim by a Din Derabanan. They allowed you to use a Bishal Derabanan for a Din Derabanan. One could question this Prima Gadim on the following basis. Although Kavush does work by Erev Tavshilin, Melicha does not. And Melicha, Kirosayach, is also, should theoretically be okay for Erev Tavshilin if we're working on a a Derabanan principle. Okay, so that's something to consider. The third point that can be deduced from this Gemara Psachim are the necessary materials to create a Kvisha. The Gemara is discussing using meat and milk. The Prima Gadon boils this down to any Davar Yavish and a Davar Lach, any solid within a liquid. Because if you have two liquids touching one another, says the Prima Gadon, that's not Kvisha, that's a Taroves, and it's got to become Aser immediately. You don't need 24 hours to wait for that to become Aser. And if you have two Davar Yavish, he's touching one another, so that's not definitely not going to become Aser. So now that we know we have a Davar Yavish and a Davar Lach, what is the Davar Lach that can be used? What liquid can be used? And what Davar Yavish, which solid can be used? Rashi, whenever he discusses the principle of Kavish Kamibushal, keeps on mentioning one liquid, that is tzir, some briny fluid that's very, very salty. However, other Rishonim point out, tzir is not necessary for Kvisha. Indeed, the Gemara Psachim doesn't even use a salty liquid. It uses chalav, coriander, milk. Milk is like any standard liquid. The question one can ask on Rashi is, Rashi knew this Gemara Psachim. Why does he keep on using tzir as the prime liquid for kavish kemivushal? So there are multiple answers given to this to try and answer up Rashi. I'm going to suggest that given by the Drisha and the Bach. Rashi really holds something similar that the Rush says in Chulin. The Rush states, we know we have a din of Kavish Kemugoshel, but don't forget the latter half of that statement. Meliach kerosayach, that salting something is like roasting it. Roasting is a shear of a meal. Whether that's 18 minutes, okay, it's a machlokes, there being a tam and the ran, whether it's within the first 18 minutes, after 18 minutes, but either way you hold, it's going to be much, much less than a 24-hour period. Therefore, says the Rush, if I have a salty fluid and I put my solid in there, the sheer kvisha, I don't need 24 hours, I only need the sheer of meliach kirusayach. However, if I do kvisha in any other liquid that is not so salty, that's when I come to kuleyoma, that's when I need the sheer of 24 hours. Therefore, say the Drisha and the Bach, Rashi holds the same thing. When he gives the example of tzir, he never gives a shear. He never says how long the kvisha process takes. It must be, Rashi holds, tzir doesn't need 24 hours. It happens much, much sooner. But if I were to soak my salad in any other liquid, that would become usr after 24 hours. So we see what liquids we need in order to create kavish kemivushal. The question is, what type of solids can be used as well? This leads us to the Isser v'Heter, who holds, if I take Heter juices and I soak them for 24 hours in a Kli Ben Yomo with Bliyo Shel Isser, congratulations, after those 24 hours, I will have Asered my Heter juices in the pot. So the Taz and the Shach both take issue with this Isser v'Heter, because after 24 hours, what Tom is coming out? No sin tam lefgam. It's not a good tam. It's not going to asr my heter juices in the pot. Matei Honatan comes to defend the Issa v'Heter and says, wait a minute, what are the Shach and the Taz thinking? Are the blios coming out of that pot the very last minute of the very last hour? Impossible, says the Matei Honatan. Therefore, he answers and says, blios are continually going in from that pot into the heter juices from the beginning of that 24-hour period until the very end. And within the first 24 hours, all that tam is nusin tam l'shvach, it's delicious juices that's going to help my heter juices already in the pot. Just because I have some nusin tam l'fgam coming into my juices in the pot after the 24-hour period, that's not going to say that it's mutter. It's not going to be matir my juices. Therefore, the Matei Honatan agrees with this Isser v'Heter that one should be careful not to soak heter juices in a ben yomo pot that has blios shel iser. So again, we learned three major aspects to kvisha from this Gemara in Psachim. The shear of kvisha. How long does it take for the kvisha process to be finalized? Is kvisha din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? And the necessary materials in order to create kvisha. Let's define the next term, bishul. One might be skeptical to conclude that bishul by Kavish Kemivushal is like any other bishul b'chol ha-Torah kula. There are two reasons for this. Number one, there's no fire. Generally, to have a bishul, we need some sort of ish. Number two is we have that tricky chaf ha-dimyon, Kavish Kemivushal. soaking is like bishul might indicate that it's not exactly like bishul. There are some differences involved. And indeed, the Prima Gadim asks this very question, what is happening within our kvisha process? Is there bishul occurring or are there blias occurring? So most of the Prima Gadim in his Hakadama to Siman Kofei by Kavish Kamavushal asks this question, and indeed most of what we discussed up until now, questions and answers can also be seen in that Prima Gadim. So what is a nafkamina whether the kvisha process is bishul or blias? So one possible nafkamina could be the gabi hilcha Shabbos, which we mentioned a little bit earlier. By Shabbos, we don't care if there's blias. What we may have to make sure is that there's no bishul. Prima Gadim gives a nafkamina and says something else. Let's say I have a piece of meat that I didn't do melicha and I didn't do tzlit to it. It has blood in that piece of meat. So I have to make sure to get the blood out. But if I soak it for 24 hours, if I hold that kvisha is really like bishul, so it's damshin espash, the cooked blood might only be a din dirabanan. But if I say it's just the transfer of blias will still keep that iser deraisa blood in the pot. So the Prima Gadim concludes, he thinks that there's no bishul going on by kavish kemevushal, it's really just the transfer of blias. If that's the case, when does this transfer of blias occur? So we mentioned Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, the Mati Yehonasan, thinks it's happening throughout that 24-hour period. So one could question this Mati Yehonasan on the following basis, and in fact, the Mati Yehonasan asked the question on himself. If blias are occurring throughout that entire 24-hour period, why do I need 24 hours to create Kavish Kemevushal? Aser it after an hour, aser it after a minute, possibly. So says the Mati Yehonasan, no, not so quick. I hold there are blias transferring throughout that 24-hour period, but in order to create a kavish kemevushal, in order to asur the yavr yavish and the davar lach, it has to be a significant time. It can't just be a tam kalish. Prima Gadim, however, is not so sure with that answer of Yonasan Eibshitz and thinks that maybe it's not true. Indeed, the Prima Gadim quotes a case, if I have something soaking in a liquid for 10 hours and the liquid's nishbach spills out, and I refill the pot with another liquid, he thinks I'll have to count that 24-hour period once again. I cannot be mitzarev 14 hours with the second liquid with the 10 hours from the previous liquid and say, oh, I had a sheer kvisha of 24 hours, kavish kemevushal. So we see that there is no bishul going, there's probably the transfer of blias going out by kavish kemevushal. Question is, what if we go one step closer to that fire, but not exactly on the fire? Will we get bishul then? Are we only doing blias? So this leads us to the kli sheni. And when we look at the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Mem, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kaf Dalet, both state kli sheni ein levashel. No cooking can be done in a kli sheni. The Gemara in Shabbos goes as follows. The Vizcha Bar of Dimi was following Rebbe into the Ambatya, into the bathhouse. And he wanted to heat up a pach shel shemen, some jar containing oil, in the Ambatya. So he asked Rebbe. Rebbe said three magic words, Tol b'chli sheni. Gemara says, wow, Tol b'chli sheni shmami natla. We can learn three different things from what Rebbe said. And one thing the Gemara deduces is kli sheni einam avashel. The Gemara in Chulin is not in the Shabbos context, but in the Yoredei context. Mishnah in the beginning of Kol HaBasar says, all meat is usher to put on the same table as gvina, except for dagim chagavim. So Gemara says, Shmami na ofu gvina deoraisa. Can we learn from this that ofu gvina is deoraisa? Because otherwise, it would be gzera the gzera. To not put gvina and cheese on the same table is a gzera. Maybe I'll eat the gvina and cheese, the gvina and chicken, I'm sorry, at the same time. But it's only, ofu gvina is only dindarabana, and we don't make gzera the gzeras. Ask the Gemara, how do I know we don't make gzera the gzeras? The Gemara responds, it's a Mishnah. It's mutter to take challah in chutz la'aretz and for a kohen to eat that challah in chutz la'aretz at the same table that a zar is eating at. The Gemara responds, that's not a raya. The whole reason it's mutter for a kohen to do that is because challah in chutz la'aretz, there's no concept whatsoever. B'vo'achem al la'aretz, says the pasuk, when you're in Eretz Yisrael. If the mission would have told me that I'm not allowed, that a kohen is able to eat challah chutz la'aretz in Eretz Yisrael, where there is something called challah, then it would have said, oh, I can learn out from here, we make gzera the gzeras. So the Gemara says, still, it wouldn't be a gzera. The gzera in this case, by putting ofu gvina on the same table, because the halah and the achila is really kula chad gzera. If I allow you to put ofu gvina on the same table, you might put basur gvina on the same table, and eat them bivas achas. Ask Rav Sheshet still, tzoni bitzoni, who cares if I eat it bivas achas? two cold things by Basar B'Chalav will not create a Basar B'Chalav De'oraisa unless there's Bishul. Says the Gemara, oh, you put it into a boiling kli. It's so hot. Of course there's got to be Bishul. Says the Gemara, no, not so quick. There will be no Bishul in a kli sheni. That's very important. That's where we see kli sheni in a mevashel. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not a kli sheni roseach, it's an ilfus rishon roseach. It's a boiling kli rishon. So we see kli sheni ein mevashel. The question is why. In Shir, we brought three possibilities. There's actually a fourth possibility if you want to look at the notes. But the first is given by the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, in discussing Bishul B'Shabbes, has two very important phrases. One is Bishul Barur and Harchaka. So the Gemara says, ein lecha Bishul Barur, except if it's on the fire. The only time you will have Bishul is if it's on the fire. But if it's not on the fire, it's asur mishum harchaka, indicating that whatever that is, whatever the harchaka is, it's only a din derabanan. One could explain the Yerushalmi as follows. When do I have bishul on Shabbos d'oraisa? That's if I cook on the fire. And if it's a kli rishon shelo agabe ish, if it's not on the fire, that's only a din derabanan. But a kli sheni, come on. Kli sheni is so far removed from that fire. Kli sheni ainu mevashel. The question is, do we accept this Yerushalmi? So it's possible the Rambam does accept this Yerushalmi, but the Ran has two kashas from two different Bavlis. The first is that Gemara in Chulin that we just mentioned. What does the Gemara give as an answer to why it's not a gezerah, the gezerah to aser putting ofu gvi on the same table? Because you might put it into an ilfis roseach rishon. Answers the Ran, it's not agabi ha'ish, it's an ilfus rishon shelo agabi ha'ish. And yet, the Gemara used that as the answer to why it's not a gzera the gzera. Because if you put the basar and gvina in that ilfus roseach, congratulations, you just did a bishul d'oraisa. The Prima Gadim is not so sure with the Ran's interpretation of the Gemara. He thinks, wait a minute, who says it's not agabi ha'ish? It could be in those fancy restaurants where they have the food and they put it on, by the, they give you a fire underneath. He's not so sure that the Gemara, when it says Ilfus Roseach Rishon, is not talking about something Al Gabi Ha'ish. So that Prima Gadim is probably a Docha Pshat in the Gemara in Chulin. The second Kasha comes from a Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Mem Bet. The Gemara says, Kali Abishol, certain things that are very easily cooked, can even cook in a Kli Sheni. What are examples of Kali Abishol? So one is Kul Yoseh Ispanin, which Rashi in a couple places says is herring. A second could be spices such as salt, although salt nowadays probably would not be kali bishul because it's pre-cooked and ein bishul achar bishul. But nonetheless, according to the Yerushalmi, if ein lecha bishul barer el al gabi ha'ish, the only time you have bishul is if it's on the fire, why would there be such a thing called kali bishul on a kli sheni? So the Ran says, it must be the Bavli does not hold to this Yerushalmi. There's a machlokas Bavli in Yerushalmi. We all know the Rith in Shabbos says, whenever there's a machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, we hold like the Bavli because they're Basrai. Whatever reason it is, we're going to hold like the Bavli. A third possible reason why we don't hold like this Yerushalmi is because maybe we didn't explain the Gemara correctly. The Gra thinks the Harchaka is not Kli Rishon Shelo Agabe Ish. The Harchaka is for Eroi Kli Rishon, but Kli Rishon Shelo Agabe Ish, that's Deoraisa. Okay, so that's the first possible answer why Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel. The Yerushalmi says it's not Agabe Ha'ish. Tosfos and Shabbos and Daf Mem Bet gives another possibility. In order to have a kli sheni, you need dofnos mekareros. You need the cooling of the walls to prevent a bishul. This would have major nafkamina for something called a davar gush. A davar gush is a solid food that I cooked agabi ha'ish, and it retains that heat. So if I put that steak, let's say, onto a plate, kli sheni to kli shlishi, if you hold of Tosfos' principle of dofnos mekareros, the solid isn't touching the walls. It's never going to cool down. Therefore, the Shach quotes the Marasha that by a davar gush you'll have no concept of a kli sheni. The Ramah seems to hold by Yoridea that's not necessarily true. In Siman Sadi Dalitz, if hey, will a davar gush can have a kli sheni if I transfer it to another plate. By Shabbos, it might be the Ramah himself also agrees with this principle of davar gush. A third answer to why Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel is that we need Derech Bishul. In order to create Bishul on Shabbos, it has to be the normal way of cooking. and cooking in a klisheni just isn't normal. So we didn't allocate this position to any rishon and shir, but it's possible Rashi holds of this, but when discussing bishul v'chama in the Gemara and Shabbos. So these, the last two explanations, that given by Tosus and the Derech Bishul Pshat, can easily explain why Kali Abishul is mevashel and klisheni. It's not a halachic factor why klisheni ain't a mevashel. It's a mitzias, generally speaking. You will not have that klisheni be hot enough to cook anything. But if you have the right food and the right liquid, you can violate bishul d'oraisa. And indeed, this leads us to the Chazon Ish in Siman Nun Bet in Orach Chaim. The Chazon Ish is talking about this Yerayim, who holds, even though klisheni ain't a mevashel, if I would put pot, if I put bread into the klisheni, the Yerayim thinks, yesh bishul achar afia. So the Chazon Ish quotes those who hold, we should be machmir by for putting anything in a klisheni, maybe it's mevashel. Maybe it's like a kali habishel. The Chazon Ish is not so sure that's correct. Because the Gemara does give examples of mayim and shemen that in klisheni ain't a mevashel. And if you want to be more machmir and say that you're not allowed to put anything into a klisheni, possibly because it's like kali habishel, alav harayad, you have to bring the proof in order to aser. So up until now, we've been assuming that the klisheni at the very least is yad soledisbo. Yad soledisbo, the Gemara in Shabbos says, is something that kresel shel tinok nechvesbo. The stomach of the baby can be burnt by it. The temperature of which is probably between 114 degrees Fahrenheit and 160 degrees Fahrenheit. However, what if I have something called yad nechvesbo? It's not, it's so hot, says the Yad Yehuda, that if I stick my hand into it, it'll burn. Mishnah Berurah quotes Chaya Adam, who quotes a Yerushalmi discussing Truma, that thinks Yad Nechvesbo might be Mevashel even in a klisheni. By Truma, in order to separate the grains and the fruits, Trumas and Maisrus, there has to be Koveya. And one thing that could be Koveya, the Yerushalmi says, if it's Mevushel, even in Yad Nechvesbo that was in a klisheni, so the Chaya Adam thinks, yeah, Yad Nechvesbo is Mevashel. The Chazon Ish takes issue with the Chaya Adam on the basis that so many Rishonim and Achronim knew this Yerushalmi. However, nobody mentions before the Chaya Adam such a chumrah of Yad Nechvesbo being Mevashel on Shabbos, even in a klisheni, and therefore he thinks that this Yerushalmi cannot be compared to Bishul B'Shabbos. At the end of the day, Maisa seems to still be a machlokas aposkim whether Yad Nechvesbo is Mevashel. It could possibly be if one holds Yad Nechvesbo is Mevashel Klisheni, you might not even stop there. Maybe in a Klishlishi. Again, it is still a machlokas aposkim up until today. So we know there's no Bishul in a Klisheni. So that leads us to the next question. Are there at least Blias happening in that Klisheni? Is there a transfer of time? This is a machlokes Rashba in the Torah in the beginning of Siman Kufhei. Beis Yosef and the Taz have a machlokes what the machlokes Rashba and Torah is talking about. Let's start with Beis Yosef. The Rashba quotes those who hold there's no blias transferring in a klisheni, and he says how can you say there's no blias transferring in a klisheni? Hare the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Chet is very clear. There are some blias transferring. Case is taking a sakin shel akum, a goy's knife, and doing shchita with it. The Gemara has a quotes in machlokas, pesa shchita roseach, pesa shchita ein roseach. Says one man the amr holds it's got to be mevashel bichtei klipa. Says the Rashba, the pesa shchita of an animal is not as hot as a klisheni, and yet there is still blias transferring. Therefore, we see blias transfer in a klisheni. The Torah states, but wait a minute, it's only kdei klipa. And therefore, he responds, if you want to have blias transfer in that klisheni, you have to make sure it is yad soledisbo. The temperature is the necessary requirement in order to create transfer of blias. Beis Yosef doesn't know why the tour thought the Rashba said what he said. He's yatsiva ba'ara v'giyura b'shmeshmaya, says the Beis Yosef. The tour is standing on the ground and shooting arrows into the sky. The Rashba, the Oro Shel Olam, is going to think blias are transferring in a klisheni that's not even yatsu lettuce lo mistaber klal, says the Beis Yosef. And therefore, he thinks the tour misunderstood the Beis Yosef and they're really on the same page. The Rashba himself holds that in order to have blias transfer in a klisheni, it has to be yad soledisbo. The Taz says not so fast. I agree the Rashba's Orosha Olam, but the Tur was himself an Orosha Olam. He knew what he was talking about. Tur didn't assume the Rashba how Blias were transferring in a Klisheni that's not Yad Soletis Bo. The Tur thought the Rashba held Blias were transferring in a Kli Rishon that was not Yad Soletis Bo. It was still somewhat hot, but it was not Yad Soletis Bo. And that's where the Tur comes in and says, no, it has to be Yad Soletis Bo in order for Blias to transfer. Halacha L'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch, does say there really are no Blias transferring in that Kli Sheni, but will be Machmir Akdei Klipa. With regards to Kli Rishon, that's not Yad Soletis Bo, but it is somewhat hot, will the Blias transfer? So the Shach, I believe at the end of Sif Katan, hey, does indicate that maybe we are Machmer in that point. I'm not sure if we gave up Psak Halacha to that in Shir. Okay, so we see, based that Kli Sheni is not Mibashel, but there are transfer of Blias still. What happens if we take another step closer to that fire? That is Iroi Kli Rishon. Iroi Kli Rishon is at least a three Machlokis Rishonim brought in Tosis and Psachim by the case of Tata Gover, Ila Gover, and a Tosis in Shabbos, and even longer Tosis in the Gemara in Svachim Adaf Sari Hamabet. Let's start with the Shita of the Rashbam. The Rashbam believes Iroi is like a Kli Sheni. What's his Raya? So the Rashbam has a couple of Rayas. The one we discussed in Shir was that Gemara in Psachim. We have a Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, whether Eli Gover or Tatai Gover. We passing like Shmuel that in order for there to be really transfer Blias, a Bishul, Bichdei Kulo and everything, it has to be cold pouring into the hot. What happens, according to Shmuel, if hot went to the cold? It's only Klipa, says the Rashbam. Perfect, that's my Raya. That Iroi is only like a Kli Sheni. The Rabbeinu Tam is very confused with this Raya of the Rashbam. It says Klipa. Iroi is Mevashel Kdei Klipa. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't know what the Rashbam is talking about, and concludes, Iroi is Mevashel Kdei Klipa. So the Shach and Sifkat Nchet comes to defend this Rashbam as follows. The Rashbam wasn't talking about Bishol. He was talking about Blias in a clay klipa. And indeed, if you look at the Gemara Psachim closely, it doesn't even use the Lashon of Bishol when it's talking about a klipa. It says, Ademaker le miha bala, bala purta. Before it cools down, it's going to absorb a little bit. It's very meduyak like the way the Rashbam reads the Gemara. And therefore, the Shach says, there won't be Bishol b'Iboy, but there will be a Blias. Major nafkamina, the Abe Hilcha Shabbos. By Shabbos, we don't care about the about the transfer of Blias. We care about Bishol. We want to make sure there's no cooking going on. Okay. The third possibility is that of the Yesh Mefarshim, Tosus and Zvachim quotes as the read that Iroi is Mevashel like a Kli Rishon. This is learned out from the Gemara in Zvachim, discussing Hag'alah by Kalim in the Mikdash. We have to make sure that we get the Blias out of those Kalim in order to prevent an Isser of Nosar. The Pasuk says, Asher Tivusha Bo. Gemara has a drasha, not just by a Kli Rishon Bo, even to include Iroi, that if it was Bo'leyak, Ye Iroi, you have to do Hag'alah. So the Ri says, oh, perfect, we see right here, Iroi is exactly like a Kli Rishon. One could take issue with this explanation, with this Raya, from two different perspectives. Number one, it doesn't say it's Kdei Kulo. Maybe the Iroi over there is exactly like the Rabbeinu Tam. It's going to be Vashel Kdei Klipa. And still, if it's Mevashel Kdei Klipa, you would still have to get those Kdei Klipa Blias out. Number two is that we often have Chumras by Kachim. Chumras to Kachim, we might not be able to learn out to anything else. And therefore, maybe the Raya is not so clear-cut as we think. Ad Khan, what we did so far in Shir of Kavish Kemavushal, Kli Sheni, and Iroi, I hope this was helpful. And if you have any questions, I hope I could be of any help.